to what Mac read, Psalm 33. Mac did such a good job reading that, I think every time he gets up here, I'm going to give him a long passage. I think we should do that, don't you think so? He did a good job. Again, Psalm 33, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's just like four psalms that don't have titles in the Hebrew text in which they came from. This is one of them, okay? If you look at if you have a Bible that does topics or does that, this is one of the ones that does not have a name in the Hebrew text. I think there's only four psalms that don't, which makes some people think that maybe it was part of the 32nd psalm, and after David repented in Psalm 32, if you know that's a repentance psalm of when he sinned, then after repentance comes praise. And so some people think that maybe it should be part of 32 because it doesn't have a title. I don't know. I think it's pretty good the way it is. But if you have a Bible that puts a topic on it, it's a praise psalm. It's just a psalm about praising the Lord and getting excited about what God has done for us. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started here. Father, I pray as we go through an entire psalm today that you would help us to understand it better. Lord, to see things in this psalm we've never seen before. Lord, be reminded of great truths we already know. Lord, there are some familiar verses in here. And Lord, that you would help us to go from this place praising you for the great God that you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see if I can get things here. I got notes on the screen for you. Again, I was told that the bulletin got changed a little bit, so if you turn over to the back of your bulletin, there's not so much place to keep notes anymore. But if you look on the tables in the foyers as you come into church, you can pick up sermon note papers, okay? And you can get those. They don't really come in the bulletin on the back anymore, but you can pick them up, and you can have sermon notes. I was telling people, I was thinking about a joke, like one Sunday, just have a little piece of paper there, and you'd all think that's going to be a short sermon, and then the next one, like, have a real long one. And you all be like, oh my, we're going to be here forever. But again, this is just a psalm that I'm titling, Why We Should Rejoice in God. And I'm going to give you three things. They're alliterated, so maybe not hard to forget, and you'll see them. But why we should rejoice in God? Again, we serve a great God, and He loves us. And I just want to, again, go through this psalm and see what God's given for us. Again, we have our memory verse for the month, is it not? Again, I kind of do this myself. When I quote this verse to myself, I say the word, behold, and I stop. Now, if you're in this church, the word behold, yelled in a loud manner, ought to mean something. Am I right about that? When we do our Easter play, as the entire sanctuary is pitch black dark, all of a sudden you hear Jesus yell what? Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And I always just remember when I read that. And so every time I come to this verse, I can hear Mark Llewellyn, behold. Okay? And so I just stop. Behold. Now that my attention is focused, here's what I need to know. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So again, I hope as you quote this verse throughout the month, throughout the week, and you're learning it, again, when you say the word behold, now get your attention focused on what's coming next. And this is the great truth of this psalm as we come through it. Of all the things that God does in this psalm, His eye is on us. He's watching us. And yet He's got so many other things to do that, you know what? His eye is on us. Again, what I want to do is just give you the introduction. I think the introduction is verses 1 through 3 as we're getting ready to get into the psalm there. Notice, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Again, I'm just going to give you a few things here. We should praise the Lord. We should praise the Lord. I don't know about you and what you do and how you sing or what you think about singing or whatever, but you know, you just ought to sing. I've always said this. As I go down the road a lot of times in my car, I wonder, those of you who are traveling faster than me, okay, because I don't travel fast, okay, but as people pass me in the car, do they see me singing and wonder, what's he doing, okay? That guy's talking to himself. A lot of times, music's on. And I'm singing. I found it really hard in the offertory as the organ and piano were playing, "Have a Little Talk with Jesus." Folks, I was singing. Okay? I just can't let that go. Okay? Have a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right, does it not? And again, praise the Lord. We should just start singing and sing praise to God. Now, you say, "Well, I just can't sing." Well, praise isn't limited to singing. Then talk. Okay? But we need to praise God. The word rejoice literally means to ring out, to shout for joy. That's what it means, to ring out. When I hear the word ring out, I think of a bell that's pealing. It's loud. Okay? It's heard. It's very easy to hear. And I know that in a lot of towns, again, in days gone by, a lot of churches don't do it anymore. But in order to get people's attention, what did they do? They rang a bell. And it was loud enough to get people's attention. I thought it was kind of neat. There's a bell tower in the Port Matilda Baptist Church. They still have a bell, and a bell that still works. And they let the young people of that town know, when we ring the bell, we're going to be doing something for young people at the church. And I remember they were saying one time there was a boy who was up on the mountain hunting. I think he was hunting squirrels. And he heard the bell ring. And he went over to his dad and said, "I'm done hunting. They're doing something at the church." And he came down off the mountain and went to the church and went to the youth activity. Because he was far away, but the bells rang out and he could hear it. Again, this is the first church I've pastored that doesn't have a bell. Okay, Romola had a bell and we would ring it from time to time. And Massachusetts had a beautiful big bell that used to be in the belfry, but then when they built a new church, it just sat in the foyer. And boy, I tell you what, it was really tempting to ring that thing. I mean, it was loud. And those kids would go over and slam that thing, and you look over and some kid would be running away. Okay? And I mean, it was loud. And then somebody tried to put a piece of wood up there, and we removed that. We didn't need it. And we rang it whenever somebody got married. As they were getting ready to come down the aisle, we'd ring the bell in the foyer. It was big. It was pretty loud. Shout for joy. Let people hear. That's what rejoice means. We've got to let people hear. Again, the word comely, as you're looking here in these verses, again, as we're looking comely, comely means beautiful. Okay? Praise is beautiful. Okay? It's comely to the upright. It's beautiful. Now, again, there's a lot of things. Emotions that hit us. Okay? There's a lot of emotions that come into a human heart. Okay? From sadness to kind of being depressed, to being maybe angry. I mean, there's a lot of things. But isn't comely an emotion that's absolutely wonderful? Praising God is what we need to do. So there's many emotions that grip our hearts. But one that has to be, it's got to be beauty to God. So I've written down here, no emotion is as elegant, as beneficial, as beautiful as a heart that's filled with praise for the Lord. We just need to ring it out. Let people know, you know, we serve a big God. Now, I do know we live in a world now, and they don't want us talking about God much. Oh, you can do it in your homes where nobody hears you. But take it out of the marketplace. Take it out of the public square. Take it out of the schools. Take it out of the places where we are. We don't want to hear it in the government buildings. We want God's name in your houses. I tell people, if they limit it to our houses, how many of you think it won't be long until they take it out of our houses? We need to sing it loud and make it loud. And don't be afraid that we know God, and we want to praise Him for the good things that He's done for us. So a heart that's filled with praise, we need to ring it out. Again, we need to make it out there. Verse 2 calls on us to use our musical skills to praise Him. Okay? If you've got musical skills, please use them. Teach your young people music, if you can. If not, have them, somebody else teach them. But again, music is important. Singing is important. I think one of the neatest things, and like I said, I'm not the perfect parent, don't know everything I'm supposed to do, but music was big in our house. Music was big. We did a lot of singing. And again, when my children were young, I would be asked to go to Bible conferences, and I'd go places, and I'd take my children with me. And we'd all sing, you know, and then they grew up and moved out, you know, and people said, "What we really miss is your children singing, you know." Yeah, you didn't call me to come and preach at your Bible conference. You just wanted my children, you know, you just wanted our singing or whatever. And we sang funny songs and different kinds of songs. And we'd go down the road in the car. We'd just singing songs. And it's important to be musical. And again, if you can play instruments, please do. Okay? It's really good. Now, I do know that some people say, "Well, I'm getting too old for that." Well, I'm not sure about this, but I think Andrea Brown now. But I think when she showed up at this place, she did not know how to play the guitar. Am I right about that? She's pretty good on it right now. Okay? And she's only been here a couple years. Am I right about that? But she didn't play when she showed up, ran into Amber, did she not? And I remember that first night when she started playing the piano, she said at school the next day, my fingers hurt from playing so much. But she's really good. So if you say, well, I'm too old, I do go downstairs from time to time and look at, there is a guitar in my basement, and from time to time I look at it and go, I don't know, maybe I am too old. I don't know. Okay? But again, teach music. Sing music. It's so good to do that. Instruments can honor God because music is another form of praise to the Lord. Okay? Again, I enjoy those who play music here. I'm so grateful for those that have talents that do it here. Again, from piano and organ to the musical instruments we hear our children play and adults play. Again, it's very good that we're playing on instruments. So let's do that. Again, the other thing that I think is important, verse 3 says, sing unto him a new song. Sing unto him a new song. Folks, I love the old songs. I sing the old songs. I love them. But some of you are saying that we're introducing a few new songs to the church, okay? And they've been written in the last, I don't know, 30 years or whatever, Patch the Pirate, Frank Garlock, others, okay? But again, we ought to learn new songs also. There's nothing wrong with new songs. I know some people get scared of new songs, but good, there's good new songs that are out there. And I like to listen, and from time to time, I go to a men's retreat, and we sing a song. I'm like, wow, that was a good song. Never heard it before. And then I got to go find it, or I YouTube it, or whatever, and I try to play it so I can learn it. And good songs. And by the way, we need to find things, because look what God does to us. Again, Lamentations chapter 3, his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, watch this. Somebody, years ago, read that verse and said, I think there's a song in it. Somebody tell me what the name of that song is. Is it not one of the great hymns of the faith? But I don't think we need to stop there. Since God's compassions and mercies are new to us every day, then we ought to find, again, other words also that new. And again, I praise God for those who have the talent to write music and to put things down in print and then put it to notes or whatever. Again, God finds new ways to bless us every day. We need to find. By the way, again, doesn't it just get stale if you're married and you just say the same thing to your wife or she says the same thing to you every day? Wouldn't you like to hear something different from time to time? Okay, you know, can you put a little thought into this? Say something a little different, okay? That's good to do, is it not? And so again, songs, and again, praising God for the great things that He has done for us. Again, verse 3, our praise is to be heard by others. That's why it says there in the introduction, I believe, again, do it with a loud noise. Make sure others people hear it. Make sure they do. By the way, now watch this, okay? Doesn't the world do a good job of making us hear their music? Don't they? I think we ought to be able to play our music and let other people hear about our great God. So again, we've got a song to praise God. We've got to let other people hear it there. We ought to praise Him so those will be aware of who God is and what He has done for His people. And if we don't get the message out of who God is and what He's done for His people, who's going to? I don't know anybody else is going to do it. We need to make sure that we tell people how great our God is. Now, this is what I put here. Now that we have been instructed to praise God, the psalmist tells us why. Okay? Again, we haven't really gone anywhere in the psalm except, you know, it's time to praise God. Get your instruments out. When you sing, sing loud. Get the notes. Get it out there. And let's sing about God. And now he's going to give us in the psalm, in the song that, again, was written here, it looks like David wrote it. He's going to give us what I put down as three things that we ought to praise God for. Okay? Three things that we ought to praise God for. I've got them alliterated. First of all, we ought to rejoice in God's Word. It's the W you're looking for. We ought to rejoice in God's Word. Again, I got my Bible right here, holding this Bible right here. Here's God's Word right there. You say, well, where's God's Word? What is God saying? Well, God wrote it down in a book for us. We've got it. But we've got to remember, God's Word is very precious to us. Now, I put a few things down here. God's Word is our pattern. Okay? If you look at verse 4 there, the very beginning of it, notice, for the Word of the Lord is right. It's right. Now, I believe that Christians have got to be still asking this important question. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? There's a lot of political things that are going on out there. There's a lot of stands that people want us to take, not take. There's a lot of things going on. My question is, what's God's Word say? Did God have something to say about this? And if He did, that's our pattern. Now, I think most of you know what a pattern is, do you not? Okay? I'm not a dressmaker. Okay? Don't make dresses, and I think that's where most things were patterned. But I've built things in my life from time to time. And I can remember not long ago on my deck that I needed like a piece of wood this long. Okay? And I needed like seven of them. Okay? So, again, what I did is I made one there like that. I lined the wood up. Now, I'm smart to do this, okay? But I lined them up. I put the piece of wood I made on the first one, drew a line. Moved the pattern to the next one. Drew a line. Moved the pattern to the next one. Because I heard a long time ago that if you put the pattern and cut it and then move that one, you'll get like an eighth of an inch shorter every time. So I moved the pattern and I made that piece of wood. Now, folks, just so you know this, that I'm not silly. The piece of wood I made wasn't cut straight. It had a notch on the end of it. You know what I'm saying? So when I made one, instead of measuring and doing all that for six more, I just used one as a pattern. And you know what? When I was done, they all fit where they needed to fit because I had a pattern. The pattern was right. That's what it says. The word of the Lord is right. And when I made the others just like the pattern, everything came out good. Again, God's word is the standard for righteous and morality. It still is. There's a lot of people out there who want to change morality. They want to change things that have been stood forever. God's word is the standard for righteousness and morality. God's word is like a compass that guides the people of God through this world. Okay? I put Psalm 119, 105. Do you know that verse? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, this verse does come very brilliant to me because I spent some time in Panama not long ago. Where we were in Panama for the week, there was no electricity. No electricity. Anytime you had to move at night, folks, it was absolutely black. I mean, I just have not been... I was in the Black Forest one time. That was really black. But it's just absolutely dark. Now, what I have, and again, my dad bought it for me years ago. I love it. I have one of these lights that you strap on your head. Does anybody have one of them? I tell people, I'm done buying flashlights that you hold in the hand. I don't think I'm ever going to buy a flashlight that you hold in the hand. If I'm going to buy a flashlight, it's going to have a band going around my head. Because I'll tell you what, you put that thing around your head, now you got two hands to do whatever you need to do. Okay? And when we were in Panama, that was my lifeblood. Because I'm telling you, at nighttime, you couldn't see anything. The one night, I'm telling you, I was sleeping there, and I was getting a pretty good night's sleep, and I thought I was doing pretty good, and then I heard noises. And like, there's noises around here. Something's going on, okay? So I reached over and got my light, turned it on, and there was five cows standing around looking at me. Like, how we all doing, you know? You know? I was just like, y'all just move out of here, and don't any of you step on me. Just get on out of here. And I mean, it was so, and I just tell people, it was so dark in the middle of the night, I couldn't see a thing, and there were cows just right there. Okay? Now you say, well, that, Pastor, that's really dark. That's really dark. As soon as I turned the lights on, everything became obvious. I knew what was going on. That's what God's Word is. It's the light in the darkness to let you know what's going on. And again, it's a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. We need to rejoice in God's Word, number one, because it's our pattern. And we need to follow it. What it says there. Again, moving on. Not only is God's Word our pattern, then it's also personal. This is what I mean by God's Word being personal. Again, it tells us about God and who He is. You want to know about our God and who He is? You don't want to know about His Son, Jesus Christ? Read your Bible. In His Word, we learn about the Lord Himself. That's what it is. And again, one of the things I'd like to tell you, and I think I have, is every page, as you go through the stories in the Bible and everything, it talks about God and who He is. And we get the learning better. I mean, God sat down and wrote us a book and said, read this and you'll learn about me. Well, then we better be learning about Him and reading it every day. Again, so God's Word is very personal in that it talks to Him about Him. Again, I just wrote it in a different way. God's Word is His revelation of Himself to the world. That's why it's so important that we tell people what God's Word says. Because that's how they learn about God. They learn about God by us revealing His Word to Him. Again, that's it is. And the last thing I have is not only is it our pattern, not only is God's Word personal, that it teaches us all about God, but God's Word is powerful. Look at verses 6 to 9, please. Psalm 33, 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Now, again, this is where you need to do some really deep thinking. Okay, this is really hard to do for anybody. But let's go back before time, before Genesis 1:1. Let's just go back to eternity past. What was there? Literally, the only thing there was God. There was no matter. Okay? There was nothing that you could touch or put your hands on. Okay? There was nothing. Now, this just boggles my mind because I don't understand how there can be nothing, but there was nothing. Okay? Again, it was dark. Then all of a sudden, what changed everything? God said something. All He did was say something. And all of a sudden, everything we see here came into existence because He said it. Obviously, you know, I don't believe in evolution. What you see, God spoke it into existence. Wow. Folks, that's power. I was sharing with the men yesterday a little joke that I heard, but there was a scientist who was an atheist, and he didn't believe in creation. And he basically was arguing with God and saying that, you know, that he would be able to also create a world and all that. And so God said, well, if you can create the earth and all that, go ahead and do it. And the scientist bent down and picked up some dirt and started to form it. And God said, whoa, get your own dirt, buddy. Now, I just got a question for you. How do you make dirt out of nothing? Okay, I don't know. There are some kids in this world I think are good at it. Okay? If everybody knows it. But you understand what I'm saying? There was nothing, absolutely nothing. And God said, and all of a sudden, the entire universe is here like that. Folks, that's absolutely amazing power. I was sharing, I didn't go get the details. It's immaterial. You can do it if you want to. But this week, the Hubble telescope found what they called some star ribbons, or ribbons of stars. You can kind of look it up. Maybe you'll find it. But upon further observation, these stars that looked like they were lined up as ribbons were actually galaxies. And they were talking about how many billions of light years away they were. That's a distance. They were billions of light years away as the Hubble telescope was seeing these galaxies that looked like stars as they were lined up in a ribbon or something like that. Amazing how far away they are and how big it all is. And you know what? God spoke it and it was done like that. Now watch this. I serve a God. I have a God that cares about me and loves me. And He can say things and it's done like that. What's there to worry about? What's there to worry about? I was sharing yesterday, I wish I could talk and everything got done. Don't you wish you could do that? I mean, I just kind of wish I could look at something and go, be fixed. And it would be fixed. You know? I was telling them, the funny thing is, I got a dog. He don't even listen to me. The other morning made me so mad. He was standing on the bank back there behind my house, and he looked at me, and he looked down the bank. He looked at me, and he looked down the bank, and I said, don't you go down that. He went down the bank. Guess who was off on a run? You know what I'm saying? But I tell people, God speaks, and it's done. He's powerful. Again, I don't understand all the intricacies of the universe. I don't think anybody does. And I know that people are out there arguing that God couldn't have done this and God couldn't have done that. Boy, I don't know about you, but I know I serve a big God and there's nothing my God can't do. And when we start talking about light years away and all these kinds of things, my God is powerful. Again, the other thing that I mentioned yesterday, and again, the other thing that in this world that is powerful is water. Water. Again, I go with the statement, water wins. Has anybody ever said that? If you're up against water, water wins. The power of water is just absolutely awesome. And if you look there, again, as you're reading these verses here, in verse 7, Again, he gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth the water, he layeth the depth in storehouses. Again, you know, as hard it is for us to control water and the floods that hit the Mississippi and the floods that hit different places. Just a few years ago, Pennsylvania had some really bad floods, did we not? God can control water. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of people say that someday, real soon, like Miami and New York and all these places are all going to be underwater and all that. I don't think so. Because my Bible says that God has set a boundary to the water. And He's gathered it in the depths. And when people start talking about, oh, one of these days America's going to be underwater. God said, that's not going to happen. God said, I put boundaries to the water. I gather it in the depths. It's where I want it to be. You know what? Water isn't always where I want it to be. Okay? And it's kind of hard to stop it because it's pretty forceful, is it not? But God is so powerful, He can control water. So you can see here, He can create the earth there, the water. And notice verse 9, I didn't read it to you. Verse 9 says, He spoke, it was done. He commanded, and it stood what? Fast. God's word is powerful. He just speaks, and it happens. What a great God we have. Just His word, let alone the strength of His arm, but just His word gets things done. Let's move on. You've got to keep moving. Number 2, besides rejoicing in God's word, we ought to rejoice in God's will. We ought to rejoice in God's will. Read verses 10 to 12 with me. Notice, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Again, as we look here, God's will. God's will. Again, as I put here, God's will is dominant. I got some things here. Again, they're hard to think about. The sovereignty of God makes you stop and think and contemplate. But God's will is dominant. There are people in this world that think they're going to do things. And God says, you're not doing that. And God is going to win. Again, we can make our plans, devise our schemes, but in the end, God's will is going to be accomplished. Again, I got Proverbs 16:9 there, which basically I just paraphrased what it said. Okay, where we make our plans, but in the end, what happens? God does. I tell people, have you ever had things in your life not go as you planned? Now, if you're one of those people that when you make plans, they come true, tell me how to do that. Okay? There are times I make plans and God said, well, we're going to do it a little different here. Okay? We're going to do it a little different, you know, because that's what He wants to do. I've said to some people on the Panama trip, you know, we outlined the Panama trip. We outlined kind of the objectives, the things that we want to do. We made our plans and everything was good. And when I got down there, my entire trip changed. And I did not get to do what I planned to do. But I really think I got to do something better. But you know what? God said, make your plans. But then we're going to do what needs to be done. So again, we make our plans sometimes, but God's will is dominant, and He gets things done. Again, it's going to happen. If you look at all the maneuvering of the nations, it's possible to become filled with fear. Isn't this world a scary place? It's scary. Okay? There's a lot going on all the time. Okay? I don't know. I turned the TV on for a minute this morning to get a weather report for what was going to go on later today. But I heard that Israel had put ground troops into the Gaza. Anybody else hear that this morning? I'll tell you what, you start throwing troops around in the Middle East, how hot is this one? Okay? Hey, we can rejoice in God's will. The nations do things, they have plans and all that, but you know what? We need not fear because our God is in control of all things. God knows what He's doing. Okay? And sometimes I get a little frustrated, but then when I see the big picture, God takes care of me. Again, we've used the standard illustration. It happens a number of times. How many times have you been on a trip and somehow on your trip you were delayed in a certain area only to find out when you went down the road a few more miles there was an accident that took place? And I just always wonder, if I would have been on time, what would have happened? Okay? God just takes care of things. And so God is in control. We don't need the fear. God knows exactly what He's doing. Again, He will have the final word because His will is dominant. I love this story that, again, I don't know if it is true. I just love, it's a story. That's why I call it a story. But I remember at a Christian college, the story goes, at a Christian college, two Bible professors were playing basketball in a gymnasium. And they had their doctorates and their degrees, and they knew all about the Word of God. And they were playing basketball, and they looked over, and the man who was the janitor and took care of the gymnasium was reading his Bible over there, and they noticed he was reading the book of Revelation, you know. And so when they were done playing basketball, they thought they'd come over and just kind of talk to the man a little bit and maybe have a little fun at his expense. I'm not sure how the story goes. Like I said, I don't know if it's true. But they basically looked at the man as he was reading there in the book of Revelation, which is hard to understand, is it not? And they said, hey, we see you're reading the book of Revelation. Can you tell us about it? And the man looked up from his Bible and said, yep, Jesus wins. I thought that was pretty good. If you were this Bible professor, what would you do? I'd pack it home. There's no discussion. Jesus wins. I know that sometimes it looks like things are a little discouraging, but in the final word, His will is dominant. Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Is that not a good verse? God knows what He's doing there. Again, God's will is dominant. Right on the heels of it, and it's hard to make a difference there, God's will is determined. God already knows how the end is going to be. As you think about God, there's a few words God never says. Okay? You know what one of them is? Oops. God never says oops. God never looks at me and says, you know, I'm sorry about your day there, Rick. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. And so I know your day was totally taken by surprise, and I kind of left you out there with no help, but I didn't see it coming, so I didn't make preparation for it. God doesn't say that. God's will is determined. Again, the things that occur in this world are a part of the Lord's plan for the ages, even though it seems like it's not. Again, if anybody says oops, it's the enemies of God. If anybody says oops, I think one of the biggest oops that ever came out on the day of Jesus' crucifixion from Mount Calvary. Because I think the devil had it all planned. And he knew that he was going to take Jesus, the Son of God, and he was going to exterminate him and kill him. And he had this plan, how to get him arrested, and how to get him convicted, and how to get him crucified, and he was going to take care of God and kill Jesus. And he did. And then all of a sudden, when he realized that that death that Jesus died on the cross was for the sins of mankind, he realized instead of battling against God and defeating Him, he realized he had just helped God save the entire human race for those who trust in Jesus. I think the loudest oops came from Satan when he went like, oops, I didn't see that coming when Jesus died on the cross. He thought it was going to be a day of victory for him, but literally it was the day of defeat for Satan. That was broadcast in Genesis 3:15. You will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. And the head wound of Satan was fatal. Oops. It was Satan that said that. Because even when people think that they're doing something, God says, you know what? We've got it. Nothing takes place that's not part of his divine plan. Folks, I say this to give you some hope. Again, isn't that what this verse is all about? Psalm 33:18. Hope in his mercy. We hope in his mercy. Come on. God has determined that he will take what will take place in this world, and that's what's going to happen. Okay? That's what's going to happen. There was something called, and I just alert you to this, if you ever hear the term, there was something that came out a few years ago called open theology. And basically there were some theologians, liberal in nature, saying God really doesn't know how it's all going to end. God really doesn't know. Okay, now, if you ever hear somebody say, well, I'm an open theist or open theology person, just say, not into that. God hopes it happens his way, but he's not sure. It's terrible theology. It's bad. God has already determined. He's already wrote it in a book so we can see it's down there, and it's absolutely going to come true. Again, God's determined that. Let's go to some verses. I've got a few verses here we need to look at. So get your pages ready to go. Go to the book of Isaiah. If you're in Psalms, you're heading to the right a little bit. Isaiah 46, please. These are really good verses. 9 to 11. This is what God says. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Reading 10 and 11 also. Remembering the former things of old. For I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Watch this. Declaring the end from the beginning. Okay? And from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Folks, did you get that verse there? From the beginning, he already tells us what the end is. Okay? Some of you know this. Some of you care. Some of you don't. Don't get worried if you don't care. There's a big soccer game today. Somebody knew that? There's a really big soccer game today. Now watch, folks. We are at the beginning of the soccer game. Can any of you here tell me how it's going to work out? I mean, tell me. How many goals are going to be scored? Who's scoring them? Who's winning? Can any of you do it right now? Who would have guessed, like last week? 7-1. Anybody see that one coming? Folks, we're at the beginning of the soccer game right now. Tell me the end. But you know what? God already knows what the end's going to be. He knows who's scoring the goals, when they're scoring them, how they're getting scored, everything. Again, he knows the end from the beginning. Verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also what? Do it. These are good verses here. When we look here that God's word is determined. Go with me if you will then. I'll put some more verses up there. Go with me to Psalm 135, please. Back to the book of Psalms. 135th Psalm this time. Look at verse 6. Psalm 135, verse 6, please. Notice, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, and in the seas, and all deep places. You can see here, whatever the Lord pleased, that did he. And then we'll end by going over to Daniel. Going over to Daniel chapter 4, again verse 35. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Again, this is after some things about Nebuchadnezzar here. And some visions that he had, but in verse 35, Daniel chapter 4, it says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Again, God's word is determined. Jesus is going to win. This is my Father's world. And he is going to have his will when it's all done and said. Not only is it dominant, not only is it determined, but here's the part I want to make here with another D. God's will is desirable. Now let me just tell you this. If you want the best life and the best eternity that you can have, do what God wants you to do. I know you'll hear people say, well, if I do what God wants me to do, it's so boring, it's terrible. I'll tell you what, I am not finding God's will for my life boring. It's pretty exciting, okay? It's really exciting. You know, and people say, if you want God's will, if you do God's will, it's the best thing for you. It is. Find out what God wants you to do today and do it. It'll be the best day you could have. Then find out tomorrow what he wants you to do. And if you keep walking in his will every day, again, you can see here in verse 12, if we put that down here, oops, I got to get back to the right Psalm, Psalm 33. Again, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now just stop thinking national-wise. Do you know what? The best nation we could have is if everybody in this nation would turn to God. It would be absolutely fantastic. You know what I read this morning? You know what I read this morning? Did anybody else read this morning? 40 people were shot in Chicago last night. One night, 40 people got shot in Chicago last night. You know what? This nation needs to turn back to God. It'll be a whole lot happier and safer place. Now, I didn't say 40 of them died. They didn't all die. Okay? But 40 people got shot in Chicago last night. Wow! You'd be better to go to Afghanistan. Does that sound like to you? Our military people were probably better protected out there in the fighting field than here. You know what? As soon as we turn from God, you tell me what happens. It's going to be a bad place to live. It's going to be a hard place to live. The horror stories are just going to keep rolling on. Because we've turned from God. You want a happy nation? You want a nation that exists in peace? Turn to God. But you know what? It's just not for the nation. It's for us. those who respond to God's will by submitting to Him will be blessed. Do what God wants you to do. It's the best thing in the world. You'll be happy. Again, I look at it this way. I'm going to a funeral tomorrow. I made this statement in Sunday school. You can laugh with it. If you want a good time tomorrow, come with me to a funeral. Come to Uncle Fred's funeral. We're going to have a great time. Okay? He was a preacher all his life. Lived for Jesus. Okay? I mean, a wonderful man. Mary Lou's wife. Don't get any better than that. Okay? If you say, well, I'm just dreading Monday, come to a funeral. I mean, we're going to sing. We're going to have a good time. Okay? I hope we have a meal. That would make it good, too. Okay? I'm going to a funeral for a man who did God's will. You know, a man comes to the end of his life, and Fred had a stroke here this past, we knew it was going to be soon. But you know what? Here's a man, when he laid on his bed, he didn't say, you know what? I wish I would have done something else and served God for my life. His word to others were, serve God. Do what God wants you to do. It's the best life you can have. So those who respond to God's will, you'll be absolutely blessed. Romans 12, 1 and 2, maybe you know it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Okay? And then the part that I want you to get is God's will at the end is good, acceptable, and perfect. I believe in a gap theory. God's will is good, G, acceptable, A, perfect, P. Do God's will. You won't have any better life. And I believe heaven will be a reward for living for God when you get there. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. That's God's will. If some person in the young, again, if somebody would come to me, young people come to me, Pastor, what should I do to have fun in this life? What should I do to be happy? Do God's will. Do exactly what God wants you to do. And when you find a step that you're ready to take that's not what He wants you to do, put that foot back and go in His direction. God's will is desirable. Again, for nations and for individuals. I got to keep moving here. Point number three then. We need to rejoice in God's watching. As we were talking yesterday, and as Mike Gauss brought out, I always thought, Bob, about this point in time, I think I need to have Mike take over the sermon because he spoke yesterday. But you know what? We can talk about God's word and God's will, but here's the comforting thing when it comes here. God's watching. And as we go to verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon what? Them that fear Him. God is watching. Again, I'm going to put this down here first of all, verses 13 to 15. God's watching is absolute. Read with me these three verses, please. Verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. God's watching is absolute. Now I'm going to just put it here. From where He sits, He sees everything that takes place. Okay? If you didn't get that, I'm going to say it even easier. He sees what? All. Everything you did yesterday, God saw it. Okay? Everything you did yesterday, God saw it. There's no deed, no thought, no sin, good work that can occur without His intimate knowledge. God sees everything. I use the word absolute there. Folks, you can't hide anything from God. Okay? Psalm 139, whether you're in the light, whether you're in the dark, He sees alike. Okay? I'll tell you what, I can see pretty good in the light. When I was in Panama, I learned something. I can't see anything in the dark. I can't even see cows. I can't see anything. God sees everything that we're doing there. So God's watching is absolute. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God sees absolutely everything. Now watch. I'm not bringing this point up to scare you. I'm bringing this point up to encourage you. God knows what's going on in your life. He's watching you. His eye is on them that fear Him. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on them that fear Him. But then the hope in His mercy. He's watching. He knows what's around the turn. He knows what's about ready to happen. And He's there to take care of us. Is that not a help to you? I sure hope it is. God is there and He's watching. There's nothing that gets away, again, from His sight. He sees absolutely everything. Again, moving on, Proverbs 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees absolutely everything. Thou knowest, my down-sitting, my uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. Again, I tell people one of the things I think is kind of funny is you guys don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. We don't know what each other's thinking. God knows what you're thinking. And I think if you really want to understand this, when you read the stories of Jesus, there are a couple times when Jesus is talking to people and he knows what they're thinking. And before they get a chance to say anything, he already hits them. Okay? With his words. He knows. He already knows what you're thinking there. Okay? Again, he knows every motive behind every motive behind every action. Did I say it right? He knows everything. Okay? And again, God's, it's absolutely absolute. I'll finish with one more verse, Psalm 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. That word reins means your motives. I know the reasons. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God knows what's going on. And again, I think that's good too. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Not everything I try to do turns out right. How about you? But my heart was good. God knows that. God knows that. He knows when it's evil too. He knows when it's evil. So God's knowledge there is absolute. Again, let me go ahead and just do this. Again, some of these points follow on, they're overlapped, but God's watching is aware. God is watching the enemies. God sees the heathen's vain efforts to alter his plans. They seek to obtain salvation through dominating their enemies. God sees it. Okay? I think of Goliath here. Now, I think of God's enemies as being like Goliath. You know what? I'm going to show these Hebrews. I'm going to take care of them. Nobody can beat me. God sees what everybody's doing on this earth. He knows their plans. He knows what they're doing. Again, he's ready to take care of them. Okay? He knows. I just love it. There's no secrets that God doesn't know. He knows exactly what's going on. So his watching is aware. He knows when trouble's headed your way. He's there to take care of you. God knows what the wicked are up to. He knows. He knows what's going on. Okay? Now, this is what I'm going to put then in God's watching is affectionate. This is the best word I could use for it. I was trying to go with A's here or whatever. Again, though God is watching all that's going on in the world, he knows what's going on in galaxies far away and everything, but God still has time for me. God is watching me. Okay? And let me tell you, I need a lot of attention. I know when preachers talk, sometimes you don't like to hear about their families, but they're the best illustrations I have. I got a grandson who's now taking steps. Oh, my. When he's at my house, did the job just get bigger? Are you with me? Okay? I mean, literally, if they would all leave the house and I was ever left with him, okay? Literally, you took him and you put him on the floor. Okay? You got in the lazy boy, you kicked back, you put on the ball game, and life is good. Okay? And if you want to know where he is, he's right there. Okay? 5 minutes later, somebody tell me, where is he? He's right there. He ain't going anywhere. Okay? Guess what? My whole life just changed. Hey, they're bringing Reed over. Oh. Now what am I going to do? I guess I got to get a leash. I'm not sure what I'm going to do now. No, I didn't say that. Come on. But you understand what I'm saying? I got a grandkid taking steps now. Now you tell me. What do I now have to do? Man, I got to watch him all the time. And we have an open stairwell in our house. I know my wife says, honey, we need to put a gate on that. Boy, I look at the woodwork over there and the beautiful railing, and I look at that, and I'm like, I ain't putting holes in that thing. Okay? I am not putting holes in that, and I'm not, no, you know. So we just now have to watch. Now, I put a stool there, and we do things or whatever. But you got to go. You got to watch. See? Now, watch this. As long as I'm watching, the boy's okay. I'm going to take care of him. He's not going to get into trouble. He's not going to mess stuff. And by the way, Nana's house is not a place that's protected for little kids all the place. We have stuff, okay? You understand that. But I'm not going to let him get into trouble. I'm not going to let him pull things over on him. I'm watching, okay? I'm a good pop. I am, okay? Now, I make jokes about those things, but I am. I watch him. He's not going to get hurt. Okay? You've got to take care of him. Before long, he's going to be walking around the yard. Well, Pop's going to be following him. We got to take care of him. God's got a lot of things to do in this world. But you know what he does real well? He watches me. He takes care of me. Again, He loves me. God will take care of His own. Matthew 6:25-33, time is out. I'm not going to read all these again, but God takes care of lilies. He'll take care of you. God takes care of birds. He'll take care of what? You. Okay? God will take care of you. That's in those verses there. God sees everything that happens to you. Again, He is a good God. Okay? Again, just giving more things here. He sees all the pain. He sees all the problems. He sees all the attacks of your enemies. Okay? He sees the hurts, the fears, the valleys, the sorrows. Again, God sees it all. Nothing escapes His gaze. I mean, He is good. All right? Now, again, I'm Pop. I try to watch my grandkids, but from time to time, I can't see everything. God's better than I am. He's way better than I am. Again, He is watching me. Again, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. He's taking care of me every step of the way. I go. So we put it, God is worthy of praise for the fact that He watches over all things, especially the needs of His people. What did David say? I was young, now I'm old. Two things I've never seen, he said. I keep telling you this, and it's the illustration I use. I walked up on a porch one time in Weaver Hollow, and two guys were sitting on the porch who definitely didn't like me or didn't want to see me. And I walked up on the porch, and they said, "You're just a young preacher. Look, folks," they said, "we've been around, we've seen everything." And I just stopped and said, "No, sir. No, sir, you have not seen everything. Because there's two things you have never seen. You have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You've never seen that. You've never seen God forget to take care of His children. You've never seen it. You never will." And those two guys were just like, "Whoa." Okay? I said, "I don't know how long you live, you'll never see God not take care of those that He loves." Again, God's worthy of your praise. He watches over all the things that we need there. Oh, the word you always like to see on a sermon, do you not? The last three verses are the conclusion. Look at verse 20. "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in these." Again, when you realize that God's word, God's will, and God's watch is absolutely wonderful, what are we scared of? It's just trust God. He knows what's going on here. The psalmist closes this psalm by expressing resolve to continue trusting in the Lord. He knows what we can trust: His word, His will, His watching. There's the three-point outline with points in between. But again, we can trust God. He's watching. He knows what's going on in our lives. Again, our trust in Him deepens and our ability to rest in Him grows. You know what? As you learn more about God, the better life becomes. Because He loves us. And He's going to take care of us. When we're resting in Him, we can rejoice in spite of everything that's going on around us. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. Again, the Bible stories are just too many to look at people that just put their trust in God and how He took care of them in terrible times. Everybody else had problems, but they were taken care of. Again, some more people got to see Moses. The Egyptians were going through a really tough time down in Egypt with 10 plagues. And the Israelites were doing just fine. Israelites were doing just fine. God took care of them. Again, I end with this. The psalmist wants us to take a fresh look at God today so that we might be filled with new praise for Him. Let's sing a new song. Let's tell people about it. Let's sing loud enough that the world hears about how good our God is. Father, I pray that You might help us to put our trust in You. Lord, it's a scary word out there. Lord, there's a lot of things going on, but Lord, when we have a God like You that's watching over us and taking care of us, we don't need to be so worried. Lord, we don't need to be fearful because, Lord, You've seen yesterday, You see now, and You see into the future, and You know how to take care of us. We thank You that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to look to Him to be our shepherd and watch over us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.